You're listening to Ride Along, EMT School. I'm Mike.
And I'm Max. We're two students navigating EMT school, bringing you along week by week.
And I'm Jonathan, paramedic, bringing real-world perspective.
Join us as we share the lessons, challenges, and stories from EMT school, and hear insights from those already living the EMS life. Welcome to the Ride Along. Oh man,
it's a great song.
That is a pretty good song. I'm pretty sure we're gonna have to pay Daughtry a lot of money for that.
I mean, he may hit us up, you know, for infringement, possibly.
Totally AI generated. Totally awesome.
Yes.
But I guess, you know, what we should do first is welcome everybody to our new podcast.
Yes. Welcome to the Ride Along.
The Ride Along EMT School. I'm Mike.
I'm Max.
And I'm Jonathan.
Hey, so the three of us are good friends. We've all met through various other forms of training, and we all have a common connection of medical stuff, and we all get along pretty well, and we thought it'd be a lot of fun for you guys to take a journey with Max and I through going into EMT school.
Exactly. We started it last week. And this is kind of like the beginning and talking about how we got here, the things we found out, all that stuff. And then we have Jonathan along, as our, professional.
Yes. So Jonathan is much more experienced than us, and he's kind of our shepherd and our wise friend that will help us through the process as we go along.
I don't know how wise, but I can tell you a little bit about my journey into the EMS and fire safety world.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned about EMS stuff is that there are plenty of stories.
A lot of them.
The fire world, EMS world, police world, all of the emergency responder type stuff, they have the best stories. So that's what we're kind of hoping to kind of introduce people to is A, the story of learning, because we're both big fans of taking classes and learning, but really just sharing with you guys a whole experience in a world of you know, the EMS world.
And it's something that we really couldn't find. Like when we looked around to see if there's anything else like that, we didn't see it. So you see a lot of podcasts about flight paramedics and paramedics and all the people that have all this experience, but nothing from start. Like, how do you get into it? Where do you begin?
Right.
And that's kind of the genesis of this whole thing.
Yeah, I looked pretty hard for so like EMT. Like, there's a lot of EMT stuff, a lot more paramedic stuff. So yep. I think guys who have been in EMS for a long time have a lot to share. And paramedics have a lot of good stories, a lot of time under their belt, like kind of doing that world or, you know, doing that life. So like, I think they get into it pretty late. And I thought, you know what, this could be an opportunity for us to not only, share that experience and it might be entertaining for people. But also ultimately I think more people should go through this. Like, this has been a goal of mine for a while. And if I can help people feel more comfortable and feel like doing EMT school is more attainable, then that's a huge win in my book.
Yeah, like, and the more people we have that are trained, that are out there, that are have the ability to help people, it's only rising boats. Rising tides raises all ships. Sorry.
Yeah. The falling forest fills all bathtubs. Yes. I don't know.
But anyway, like the more people that are out there that have the training and the ability to help people is a better thing.
Yeah, it's a better world. So before we get too deep into exactly who we are, we'll kind of introduce you guys to us. One quick note, we are accepting sponsorships for
indeed.
This podcast. It's the way to make sure that podcasts can keep going. And we are happy to bring this to you all and hope that, that some people out there might find some interest in getting their products or their brands out to different people, that might listen to this podcast. So if you're interested, please shoot a message to ridealongpodcasting@gmail.com. We have plenty of sponsorship opportunities available for episodes, for the whole podcast. And we are also big fans of making sure that listeners and the audience get access to good products and good people. So yep. that's what we like to do with our sponsorship. So reach out to us if you're interested. But with that, we should probably let everybody know a little bit about ourselves.
Why would we do that?
I don't know, because it's the first podcast. Why don't we start with Jonathan?
I like that idea.
Yeah. Like, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, sir?
Sure. So my name is Jonathan Aldridge. I'm a nationally registered paramedic. I'm from Virginia. Currently work as a paramedic in three local municipal public safety agencies in various capacities. Two of them responding on an ambulance to 911 emergencies, and then a third responding as a paramedic chase vehicle, and sometimes jumping off that onto an ambulance and kind of being all over the place. I've been doing fire rescue and public safety for 15 years now, in varying capacities. I've been an EMT for 13 years and then a paramedic more recently. Went to paramedic school started paramedic school, the kind of like the journey you're talking about starting in 2022, and then finished paramedic school at the end of 2023. Been rocking it as a paramedic ever since. So,
rocking it.
Yeah.
Living the rock star life as an EMT or a paramedic, getting all the checks.
Absolutely. I don't know about that, but yeah, definitely been involved in fire rescue for a long time. One of my roles is as a preceptor for the different agencies I work with. So we work with students just like yourselves. When they have to do their clinical time, they will come and ride along, just like our podcast is named. So they'll come right along, and I often act as the person that they're gonna ride with, and do some education for those folks and get them some infield experience. It's actually one of the things that I enjoy the most about my job. On the other side of the education background, I own a company, Iron Forge Consulting Group. That's how we have kind of met, is through training. And I own a commercial training business. Primarily, we focus on tactical medicine and providing medical care in austere environments. We also do some firearms training. We do some combatives training, as well as some mental health crisis training. So that's one feather in my cap, and we're provide training all across the United States.
If I could just take a moment to encourage everyone out there that, hey, if you don't have, the time or the money to commit into a full EMT type program where you're committing to like 180 hours over the course of months, there are plenty of options out there. Everything from your basic EMT or sorry, basic first aid type classes mm-hmm. put on by the Red Cross, or other like formal type classes like that. Yeah. Or you have a ton of instructors out there like Jonathan that are into that do commercial training of medical topics. And I will say Jonathan puts on a hell of a class. I'm proud to be an alumnus of his school. I think he's probably one of the best medical classes that I've come across, and I've taken, I haven't looked at my training resume in a while, but it's in the triple digits, I think, of medical hours. So,
yeah, I mean, I've taken a bunch, and I only got maybe a small little sliver, during a class recently where I actually got to finally get instructed by Jonathan, and I was blown away. So I have nothing but amazing things to say. And like he said, if you can't find it in your area, reach out to Jonathan and maybe he can bring in class to you.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, other classes and opportunities to train, I guess that can be a transition into my background a bit. So my name's Mike Fiore. I am a firearms trainer here in Pennsylvania. That is my passion. It's what I would love my life to be to revolve around. I'd love to emulate all of the amazing teachers that I've gotten to experience over the years through that lifestyle. But through that, I also created a company called Bulletin. You could check it out at www.bulletin.net. That's spelled bulletin without the I in it. So the word bullet, letter N, .net. And it's an online hosting or an online event listing platform where trainers all across the country dealing with firearms, self-defense, outdoor skills, medical, you name it, you can go on there and you can post your classes. So that is the thing that I really hope to make my main job is helping get good training into the hands of good people. So that's what I really like to do. I have a background in the last, 20 years of being a professional graphic designer. Not as interesting, I think, as the other things that I have a passion for, but that also allows me to kind of help with graphic stuff and doing things like podcasting.
Or the intro for this.
Or the intro. I made that intro.
You did indeed.
I didn't make the song. AI made the song, but I kind of put it together into the little, the video intro. So the reason I'm taking this class, the reason I'm going through EMT training is because I've had some experience in medical stuff. I've taken a bunch of 2-day classes, some 3-day classes, some really advanced medical classes that use things like force on force and scenario based training. This is the next thing for me. It's the next hard thing that I want to accomplish in this path of medical training. I've kind of looked around and said, you know what? This is the one that intimidates me. It's the one that I felt uneasy about doing. So I'm the kind of guy that's like, well, that probably means I should do it. I said, you know what? It's a hell of a commitment to do it, but it's how I can progress next into being a better prepared person for my family. And I know this is cheesy, but for the community around me, the people I love, the town I live in, the era, like I love Pennsylvania. I'm a Pennsylvania transplant. I grew up in New Jersey and like threw that away. And I love Pennsylvania and I just want to be a good member of the Commonwealth and help people if they ever need help. But medical stuff is important. And, that's why I was like, you know what, I'm going for it. I'm going to do the EMT thing.
Yep. And similar to Mike,
what's your name?
My name's Max. I grew up around medical stuff. My mom was an OR tech for 30 years. So like I literally remember staying overnight at the hospital when she had overnight calls and being there and helping her use the sterilizing machine and do all the things and set up the next day's surgery trays. So I've been around it a long time. I did, first aid thing, lifeguarding thing, and then kind of fell away from it. And then back in 2019, I took Immediate Action Medical, which is a class the Tech Response puts on, a training company down in Tennessee. And it just kind of clicked again. It was like a switch got thrown back on again. It definitely woke up like the medical nerd in me again. I've taken a bunch of classes. I've taken 2-day, 3-day, took a live tissue lab, some force on force stuff, same as Mike, same kind of resume of training. And for me, the main thing is I want to be an asset. Like that's my driving goal is to be an asset. I want to help people. I want to be an asset for my family. I want to be an asset for my community. I want to be an asset for my brothers. Like I want to be able to provide that steady hand and that knowledge when it's needed, whatever the topic is. And I love the medical thing. Mike brought it up to me, said, hey, I want to do this. You should do it too. I said, I think you're right.
I shamed him.
He shamed me into it.
I purposely shamed him.
He did indeed.
Like, Max, just to talk good about Max for a second here. Max is always the guy that's like, I will do it. I will be there for you. I will do the thing. If it's hard, I'm there. Which we often make fun of him for because he overcommits. however, it is his most endearing trait. And he's always been the guy that is very much into medical. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of medical stuff.
I do.
And some medical training. And along the way, I was like, you know what? You need to go to EMT school.
My
like
stuff has far exceeded my training level.
Yeah, your stuff exceeds your training level, but also you have the drive for it. You have the drive to help people. You always do. So I think it would be a natural progression for you. And I think, depending on how things work out, I honestly think it would be a very enriching lifestyle and career for you.
It might.
But that's a whole nother aspect of the EMS world is, the professional side of it and whether or not it becomes a career. But, and I'm sure we have Jonathan along the way to help us with that and those types of conversations.
Cool. And the other thing too is I, not that I feel like I need the credentials, but the reality is that when things are going on, bad things are happening, being able to say, okay, yeah, I have the training, whether you know the knowledge or not, and you've practiced or not, being able to actually show that you have the training allows people to be more confident and be more relaxed about you helping the situation. So that's part of it too.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see different people's perspectives. And I'm actually really, I hope that in class we get to chat with a bunch of different students and the instructors to kind of see what led them into the EMS world. A little tidbit for all you listening, that's probably one of the driving factors of this podcast and the opportunities that we really want to show or really want to take care of, to accomplish here is to introduce the world to really good people and their stories and why they got into being an EMT or a paramedic or whatever, whatever thing that they do in the medical field, or in the emergency medical field, I should say, because they're different. The medical field and the emergency medical field, very related. So that's really the thing is to bring through the education journey, but also to encourage people to get out there, and specifically, learn how to help people.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So that's some about us. If you have any questions, if you want to talk to us more, you should come check us out
On Facebook. We have Ride Along EMT School.
That's the Facebook page, Ride Along EMT School.
We have on YouTube, we'll be posting these videos up. That's Ride Along EMT School Podcast. You can find that on YouTube. And then as we go along, we'll be linking other social medias into it. Again, what he said, there's also ridealongpodcasting@gmail.com.
Right.
If you want to contact with questions, with ideas, with anything really, feel free to reach out to us there. So that's basically how you can get in touch with us. And we'll be doing more and more, trying to get more and more posted out there so that you can kind of follow that way as well.
Yep. So make sure you like the big one right now, ridealongpodcasting@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can reach out, get a hold of any one of us. If you got questions, if you think Jonathan's cute, you can, it's mainly an audio podcast, but hey, you never know.
He's single, ladies.
I've got a face for radio.
What we thought we would like, what we really wanted to concentrate on in this first episode is the whys. Mm-hmm. Why did we get into it? Like, what drove us to it? I think we've kind of talked through that.
Yeah.
But the big thing is we wanted to kind of sometimes it's so hard to find resources as to like, all right, how do I start? Like, what do I got to do first? Like, that was a big thing. I'm like, where do I even go? And if we can help kind of like maybe nudge people in that first step, it kind of steamrolls and kind of, rolls downhill from there. Let me ask a question to Jonathan first, because he went through this process a long time ago. How did you get hooked up into like making that transition, looking for a school to teach you how to like the actual EMT school process?
Sure. So initially I was already involved in the very, very briefly involved in the local volunteer fire department,
Which I think is probably the number one way that would figure out.
If you talk to most of the students in that class that we're in right now,
right,
most of them are volunteer firemen moving into this.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I quickly recognized kind of as to how I got involved. I quickly recognized after being in the volunteer fire department that I probably needed some medical skills and started asking questions. For our area at that time, and even currently, we are fortunate enough to have a community college in our locality, and that community college puts on an EMT school every year. So just through word of mouth, asking some folks in the fire department, they were able to kind of start to point me in the right direction, or, hey, go talk to this person. They'll have a better idea. And that was kind of my step into it, but I had no idea, even where to begin. Like you guys mentioned, it's like, it can be very daunting, not even having the first clue as to where to go. But your local fire rescue organizations can be an asset to you in that. If you know somebody in the fire department or in the rescue squad,
yeah,
asking them is a great way to kind of take that initial step if you're interested.
So I was kind of on the fence about taking EMT school for a long time. So I asked tons of people over the past, I don't know, 2 years or so. The most helpful, I have a friend who is an EMT school instructor in New Jersey. His name's Brian. I hope to have him on the podcast at some point. We go way back. We were at scout camp together back in another life. And he became an EMT, and now he's like super EMT and teaches a bunch of people. And he was a medical officer and stuff. Love that guy. So I was chatting with him earlier this year, and I didn't even realize that he was an EMT instructor. And he was like, yeah, I teach in a school here. These are what we do. And because at the time I was like, well, can I just come learn with you? And totally didn't realize it would be absolutely impractical, because I didn't understand that it's like, it's 180 hours. Yeah. I have to travel there. A lot of these things are in person. It's not hybrid, really.
Can you
isn't
imagine
a thing
actually having done that?
Oh, well, you know, I'm silly enough, but yeah. So I realized that was not the path to go, but he kind of, you know, chatting with him was like, hey, this might be attainable. So for me, like you, Jonathan, like I think the best immediate resource was reaching out to my local EMS chief here in the town that I live in Pennsylvania. We have a professional fire service and professional EMS service here. Sure. And I looked at my town page, and it said EMS chief. I was like, well, that seems like the guy I should email. And it had an email address. So I shot him an email. He's like, oh, hey, well, the local hospital has a program they put on. I looked that up, and you could find it here at this address. And I went to the web address, and I was like, oh, look at that. A PA registry of EMS classes. Who knew? Like, because if you Google it, that's not what shows up. Like, what if you hit the Google button, the thing that comes up is like, you know,
why would they want to make it so it's easy to find?
Virtua Health EMT school, or like all these like professional EMT schools that will seem to just take your money. And I guess they prepare you for the national registry, but they're not like state run service organizations, or they're not affiliated with those types of things. They're just like these schools that teach EMT stuff, which seems like a whole different world that I was like, I'm not ready to kind of get into that stuff.
Sure.
But, so through the EMS chief, I got the PA registry, and that's when the whole thing started. I was like, oh, look at that. I can look by county. Mm-hmm. I live in Lehigh County. Max lives in Montgomery County. Here in Pennsylvania. I'm trying not to be too specific as to where we live, just because there's weirdos out there. I talk by counties, because that's a lot of stuff is organized that way here in Pennsylvania. And I'm sure it is everywhere. But searching by that, I was then able to start looking at like, okay, what's in Lehigh County? What's in Max's county? Because I knew I wanted to try and convince him to take it with me. And then eventually found one in a county that was in between us both.
Bucks
County. So that's kind of where things went. And then finding that list, it gave us, okay, location, and then all like the details on the most important information, which we can get into in a second, in terms of like, you know, these are the factors, the big decision makers, the things that led to like, all right, this is what I can commit to for this particular class. Did you do any searching at all, Max?
Yeah. So I looked around, I stumbled upon the same thing that you had. Because I went Montgomery County EMS training or EMT training, and it bounced me to the same horrible website that you had sent to me that had like a lot of wrong information on it. It was not it. Like, it gave you the general gist was great, but there was a lot of specifics that were just like off. What I did not find from my initial search was the fact that like that Bucks County had like multiple locations they did EMT training.
Yes.
In. Like, that was something I did not see. Like, it said, yeah, Bucks County EMT training and some information, but it didn't show locations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one big thing. Like, the reality is Bucks County is huge. Lehigh County is huge. Montgomery County is huge.
Right.
So trying to find something that was going to work placement-wise because, you know, the reality of traffic and afternoons and all the things, that was a huge factor because the reality is we both have children and day jobs and afternoon night jobs sometimes and, you know, all the other things that go along with it. So trying to find something that was going to be not horrendous for both of us was a key factor into this being a success.
Yeah. I will say there are great resources out there. They have a lot of data. Try not to get too discouraged by the fact that usually they are run and executed by state organizations.
Yes.
Because that usually means that it is not presented well. No. Like the website for the PA registry is like the, coming from a graphic designer, it is terrible. Like just straight up to like the interactions are terrible. The interface is wrong. Like it's just, it has all types of bad things about it, but it's got all the information that I needed to help make the right decisions.
All of the pertinent, you know, information that you need to figure out what's going to work for you is there.
Speaking of which, I had a question for you, Jonathan, because I was curious. How long ago did you do EMT school?
So I started EMT school in August of 2010.
2010. So
yeah,
doing some quick math on my fingers and toes. 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 15 years ago.
Do you remember how much it cost to go through EMT school?
Not a dime for me.
Okay.
So one of the things that I was very fortunate to have, so as a young man just out of high school, kind of wandering around and trying to figure out what I was going to do. And EMT school was something that our local community college, and we have a philanthropic organization that gives money to different public type projects, and EMT school or public safety stuff was one of those projects. Huh.
Isn't that intelligent?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they gave a grant to anybody who wanted to go to EMT school, and they paid for your books, they paid for your tuition. And I actually, because it was through the community college system here in Virginia, I actually got college credit, which eventually went towards my degree.
Nice.
So I very, very fortunate that I did not at that time have to, you know, pay anything for this. They have since backed off on that, but there are still lots of scholarship opportunities or grant opportunities out there. If you want to go to EMT school, there's money to be had, but you just kind of have to ask about it. In Virginia, they have a state scholarship fund that if you apply for it, most likely you're going to get it, at least some kind of money for it.
Yeah, so I will echo that in the sense that you're listening to three guys that will eventually not have had to pay at all to become EMTs.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, I also found out along the way, did not realize it at first. I was fully committed to being like, okay, I'm going to shell out a bunch of money and just, you know, it's 188 hours divided over whatever the cost is still like, you know, a really low cost for the amount of training that you get. But my local EMS chief, thanks to him again, he was like, hey, by the way, make sure that you look into the scholarship program that Pennsylvania has. And I looked it up and it's up to $800-something in reimbursement for EMT school. What I will say is that it will not cover the entire thing. And there are other out of pocket costs that it will cost, but it makes it negligible. Like I think for me, going through it, I have to, well, this is the difference between what Jonathan did and what we're going through is we have to front it. So I had to, if I did not have a scholarship, it was $950 for my fee being an out of state or out of county EMT candidate that did not have the backing of some sort of, emergency service. Yep. So like those guys get like a huge discount. Like if you're going sponsored by a local EMS, department, they're like $500. And then I think the department will even pay for it for them.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Like, so for me, because I'm literally on the border, I was able to register as a Bucks County resident. So for me, it's only $750.
You're in Bucks County. Wink.
Wink.
Yes.
And then the other thing too is that listening to the other students, that a lot of them are being sponsored by either their volunteer fire company or, you know, so it sounds like the different companies, depending on their financial situation, may also be willing to sponsor you through if you're already a volunteer with that company.
Mm-hmm. So to echo Jonathan, there are so many opportunities out there for you to do this without any type of or very little financial investment in your own education and career opportunities. So if you're looking at, you know, for something new, like, there are not a lot of options out there where you can take a professional training opportunity and then not have to shell out money for it as like an investment in yourself. Like, it's just time.
First of all, try and find any professional training that is going to be that inexpensive for the amount of hours put into it. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, if $800 for a 3-day trauma class is a really good deal.
Yeah.
So the cost for instruction is very low.
Now, I'm going to ask both you guys. Well, you both read the notes, so you'll probably know the answer for this. Do you know how much the most expensive EMT course was that I found?
I did not, and I was shocked.
It surprised me to see that number. There has to be something else associated with.
I would assume that as well.
Or Pittsburgh just sucks.
So
is it possible that it relates to getting some sort of degree or certificate outside of just an EMT certification?
I don't know. I didn't look too deep into it. I just know that on that list of the PA registry, I was able to look at all counties together. So, mm-hmm. Just don't get discouraged if you see high numbers in your searches. That's the kind of takeaway, I think, from this part of the discussion is, like, at one point I was looking through there and it was like the highest number I found was $5,496 for EMT school. It's listed as EMT school. I'm 100% sure there is some sort of certificate or additional training opportunity that's part of that. Cause there's no way it would be that expensive just for EMT school, because it was also a state sponsored course, which there has to be some level of standardization in the pricing. But that was out in Pittsburgh at like an emergency medicine program. But for the most part, everything I found in this area was in the range of like $800 to $2,000.
Yep.
Some of them, I mean, we were very fortunate to find one that was like, oh, it's like $950 for an out of county resident. Okay, well, I can afford that. And after finding out the state offers reimbursement to people who complete EMT training, cool. Like, it's not too much to kind of put out there for taking some training. So huge range. Lots of opportunity. The other big thing was location. That is like the travel aspect of it. That's going to be up to each individual person. I had a hard limit cause I have a job that like I have to do from like 9 to 5 most days of the week. So finding one that I could get to like physically in the amount of time needed, that was a huge deal. In our personal kind of search, I was looking for one that I could shame Max into taking with me, so I had to find one nearby.
He succeeded.
Yeah. But for most other people, that might be an easier process. They might be able to find one, like, you know, around the corner. I'm not sure. But, you know, there's plenty of options.
Yep.
By far, the biggest issue, the biggest factor in the training or in picking EMT school is the time.
The time is huge. We are going to be doing it 2 days a week. It is from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So it's a significant amount of time invested away from family. We also have one oddball week where we'll be 3 days that week. And we also have a week where we're going to be one Saturday, and that's for different training that's outside of the classroom that's available at Bucks County. So it's a significant amount of time.
Yes. And that was the biggest thing that I was like, not to toot my own, like, you know, I'm busy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That comes first. I do a lot of Cub Scout activities for my daughter's Cub Scout pack. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, and I try to keep a 9-to-5 job in my day job world, doing graphic design stuff and run my own business for Bulletin and all this other things. And I never run a training business too. So like, I've got a lot of hands in the, or irons in the fire, if you will. I'm like, okay, well, if I want to do this, I want to commit to it. It's a 5-month process for most of these classes. Some of them were shorter. Some of them were like, oh, you could take a 4-week class over the course of the summer. Yeah. Like, it's 40 hours a week for 4 weeks. I'm like, well, I can't really do that. I need to have income so I can, you know, pay my mortgage. So that was kind of off the table. So I was like, it's got to be nights. And then all of the options were basically Tuesdays and Thursday nights, or Mondays and Thursday nights, or whatever, 4-hour blocks. So it actually wound up being like something I had to make some sacrifices for. So for this year, I'm not actively participating in my daughter's Cub Scout pack, which is sad, but it also means that when I come out of this, I will be better prepared to be able to help that pack, yep. You know, through being a, you know, a guy mm-hmm. who has some EMT training that can help kids. And like, you know, I have to look at, like, I can't do everything all at once, and some things have to fall away, at least for the short period. But like, you know, it's an example of, I got to make some choices. I got to put something aside and prioritize other things so that I can achieve what I think is worth achieving.
I mean, same for me. Like, I had to sit down with the wife, have a conversation like, hey, I need you to be on board with this. This can't be a thing that pops up 2 months in of like, hey, this isn't working. Because if I'm committing to this, I'm committing to it.
Oh yeah. I had that conversation too.
And same thing for me. You know, I've got a 10-year-old that's in Scouts. I've got a 16-year-old that's in Scouts. And plus I have, you know, side jobs that I do all the time. So it's a constant thing of trying to fit in time anyway. And then recording these lovely podcasts for you people.
Yeah. Which also is one of the things that's fallen away, yeah. But we're committing to making sure that we get these ride along podcasts, yes. out.
But yeah, it is a sacrifice. There are obvious advantages to doing it like a 4-week program. If you can devote that kind of time, the retention of information and everything throughout it, I think would be an amazing thing. But yeah, nights were, I think for most adults, it's kind of what you're looking at.
Now, I gotta ask Jonathan and probably tell you how jealous I am of you, because if you did it 15 years ago, how old were you? You were just getting out of high school, right?
Yeah, 20. I had just turned 20, and yeah, I had a lot of free time available.
Oh my god, that's like.
Yeah, I had a part-time job, and they were willing to work around my school schedule,
and no injuries, and a young body. And a flexible brain, and
yeah.
and
oh, it's so, I'm so jealous because I wish I did it earlier, but I mean, it's fun kind of experiencing things like, you know, it's also kind of a testament out there to like, you can teach old dogs new tricks. Like, I turned 40 this year and I'm like, this is kind of like a big challenge for me, and I want to get out there and do it.
Old dog.
Yeah. You might be a little,
I am double the age of the average student in that
class.
Oh
yeah, it's hilarious. Like, I've never felt so old walking into a room.
And I'm probably 10 years a senior of all the instructors, even the oldest one.
Well, at least. Probably. So here's the thing about you two guys specifically. You guys are professional students. And so, yeah, and you know, we're joking about your ages, but at the same time, the fact that you have some life experience can help you through this process. Younger people do seem to struggle coming through class sometimes, just because they don't have that life experience. But my older students, sometimes they're rock stars. They come through and they've got some life experience, and you know, just are willing to take all the information. Again, not to say that my younger students aren't, but sometimes they struggle just because they don't have that same level of life experience that my older students do. But like you two guys, I have no doubt in my mind, because you're professional students. You guys come to class prepared. So
Well, yeah. Maybe some of us. I came to class the first night with a Popeye's chicken sandwich, and I got such strange looks.
That instructor knew no one else's name.
Yeah, he knew mine.
But Mike's.
Yeah, that's, I guess, how it goes. But, yeah, we'll talk about that in the next podcast, though. Yes. It's like, what was our experience from the first night? Because we are a little bit behind. We're recording the first episode, this episode, the week after we started. And then just to let everybody know, our plan is to release weekly episodes, and those will kind of go along with our progress. And it might actually extend out a bit, so we're going to be releasing a weekly podcast for you guys that kind of goes through each class. So lots of topics to go through.
Lots.
So that was the process of finding school, right? Making the decision, what factors were part of it. And it's going to be different for everybody out there, I think. Obviously, everyone has their own things going on in their lives. It was difficult. That was probably the hardest part of this thing, because the rest of it is learning. And we've done a lot of that, but making the decision is probably the hardest part.
Yeah.
So, once we made the decision, once we went through the process, I think we can quickly go through, like, you may have to kind of start going through some hoops, like, right away.
Yes.
Because it's the one thing I've found about, like, this kind of EMS world. And I assume it's that way for any type of governmental services world. They love forms.
Just a little bit.
Checklists, rules, guidelines, standards. Yeah. You name it. There is a document somewhere that tells me probably how I should be brushing my teeth and scratching, you know, my nether regions.
And don't forget the documents for the documents.
Yes. Filed in triplicate. typewritten on a word processor.
Wait a minute. I've already filled this out, haven't I?
Yeah. So, when we went through this, first off, there was I had to reach out to the school itself, because it was not an easy, like, the application wasn't live, right? I couldn't just go and pay money and show up at class. It was like an application process. I had to, hopefully get in, because I was not sponsored by an agency, so I had lowest priority of anybody out there, because I'm out of county and I'm not sponsored. So if we fill up, tough noogies, you can't take EMT class. So that was part of it. But we obviously had to, like, get on a website, like a guess what? Another archaic state run form.
God,
that did not work well. You know, that might be in the AAR for the Bucks County system of, like, hey, we can improve the interface.
And most of it was like PA based. It wasn't like Bucks County. It was like, okay, if you're in PA, this is what you're dealing with.
Yeah. So we had to do all that, and we had to, you know, submit an application, pay, and submit a bunch of information too. And I don't know if it was like this 15 years ago, Jonathan, and I mean, every state's going to be different, right? But sure. You're dealing with children in EMS services, just EMS, I should say. And along with that, you're also dealing with, you know, things that are sensitive and people at their most weakest. So it does make sense that you have to go through some level of background checks to do this stuff too. So Max and I had to submit, it was a PA criminal background check.
A PA criminal background check. It was child abuse
clearance for Pennsylvania, and an FBI criminal background check, which is the fingerprinting background check, where you actually have to go and get fingerprinted at, like, an Identco and all this. So it was rather rigorous. Actually, I think both of us had all of that stuff from being Cub Scout leaders.
Yeah, but it was different. Like, when I looked at the forms that I had, the one transferred over.
Oh.
One. The other ones were different, because BSA has their own things.
Yeah, I had all mine were current, so I was able to just send those over, and they're like, yep, those work. Great. So I didn't have to do all that stuff, but it's still, that's another burden for like, oh, I got to go and get an appointment and then get fingerprinted and wait for the results. And then, you know, explain why that weekend in Tijuana happened. No, I don't know. So, like, you got to go through all the background checks, the paperwork. And there's things you have to purchase. Like, there are things that we were individually responsible for, to take and be eligible for class. What do we have to get? We had to get
dark blue pants.
Yeah. Well, so the uniform.
Let's go uniform.
Uniform in and of itself was a whole thing.
Yeah. So dark blue pants that we had. We paid for a uniform through Bucks County, which consists of the shirt that me and Mike are wearing. Then we had to pay for the rest of the uniform, which is dark blue pants, black belt, black boots or shoes. We had to provide a blood pressure cuff.
Oh yeah, so that pocket. Yeah. Aside from the uniform, what is it called?
A blood pressure cuff. That's what it's called.
No,
a blood pressure.
It's not. It says it right there on that box.
Hey. No bullying by you or him is going to have me call it anything other than a blood pressure cuff.
Well,
thermometer.
So this word here has more syllables than should be permitted in a single word, but I believe it is pronounced sphygmomanometer
or blood pressure cuff.
There's nothing on here that says blood pressure
cuff. I don't care.
It's a sphygmomanometer.
They're just being gatekeepers, as usual. Also, we had to get stethoscopes. So that's what this box here, which, by the way, was all gotten through our friends at Iron Forge Consulting. Mr. Jonathan.
So Jonathan was a huge resource for us in this entire process of leading up to EMT school. So, again, I want to give him all the kudos because he was able to really kind of help us, A, pick the right ones. Because, like, you could go on Amazon and pick, you know, crappy medical stuff. But there's good stuff out there and things that will last you a while and will actually work. And if you want to provide good patient care, you should probably have good gear. So that's a plug.
Unfortunately, there's some things you can't get away from having to have high-quality gear. Yeah. It just is what it is.
So we had to buy a blood pressure cuff, a stethoscope, pen light. And we picked up a couple other things too. Yeah. We got some shears and things that are just good to have.
Yep.
So uniform, we had to buy stuff. We had to start start taking other courses too, like things for FEMA. There's like this National Incident Management System, like for FEMA, that we had to take courses for, which we have to finish by the end of the course, but they made it seem like we had to finish it before we started. So I did.
It is a serious commitment. It's like 4 hours just for the one.
Oh, it's terrible. And it's, if you think state level, courses are bad, this one's run by the Fed.
Okay. So FEMA is known for their quality. And they're, they're not.
Yeah, you can't keep a straight face. Listen, we're joking, of course.
I'll say this though, guys, as dry as that information is, and as boring as those classes are, the actual content is super important. It's something we use every single day on all sorts of incidents to be able to manage people and manage what's going on in the incident. So,
yes,
but you guys are 100% correct. It's absolutely the worst to sit through.
It's super important stuff. Like I'm sitting there going through it. And I tried reading the stuff, and like, this is where I do not succeed as well as a student, like the book learning, like diving into a book and then, or like a kind of dry presentation and then synthesizing from it. I'm a good hands-on, like, hey, we're going to have a discussion type of learner. So I had to also find additional resources to be like, hey, can you give me the cliff notes on this? And then once I read the cliffs, I was like, oh, I understand what the difference is. And like, one's about like coordinating between agencies and the other one's about coordinating assets and like the actual process. So like, it's good stuff. It's good to know. And especially if you ever have to work on a large scale incident, you want to be familiar with all that stuff. The key takeaway I had from it though was, at the end of the day, you have one person you need to listen to and just do what they tell you to. Like that's the key takeaway from that is like, hey, we'd set this whole system up so that it's as easy as possible for you as a provider to not feel like it's this giant ocean of nonsense. So we're going to organize it and you follow this one guy and this one guy tells you what to do. Like that's essentially what I took away from it. But, I'm sure we'll talk more about that over the course of the podcast too. But like, we had to do some things and we had to apply and we had to get all this stuff in line before class actually started, get all the forms together. And we also had to sign a student handbook, which had a bunch of rules in it. Rules are not my strong suit. I don't I don't like, like, I'll follow rules, but usually it's because I agree with them. Like, that makes sense.
If he were to run an EMS system, he would have a black flag flying in the background. That'd be
cool. But no, it's like, hey, this is us saying, hey, we're committing to be in this class. We're adhering to the student code of conduct. Not like, and all of it was very much like, yes, I'm promised to be a good person and to uphold the standards of being an EMT. The one that I have a problem with that I'm just going to grin and bear is like the fact that I have to wear a uniform at a class I grew up in Catholic school. So when I got out of that, I'm like, I don't ever want to have to wear a uniform for a class again. And, so we have to wear uniforms every week, which is silly because it's like, I'm paying to be here. Like, I shouldn't have to wear a uniform, but it's a professional organization, right? So they want to have a professional attitude, and I get it. Most of the people going through it are in their early 20s, and they haven't really had to deal with being professionals before. So
far, every time I've watched him walk through the door wearing this stupid polo shirt, I have felt better about wearing the polo shirt.
Yeah.
So I think by the end of it, I'll be enjoying wearing this simply because of the misery he's sitting in having to wear it.
Yeah. I don't mind polo shirts. I mind having to wear those stupid blue pants. Like, why is it prescribed?
Yours are so shiny too.
They are super shiny. Did you notice that?
I did.
Some other people have shiny pants. Like, I got them off Amazon. So I might try to find other more comfortable EMT pants. They're very like, they have a low crotch, and like, I'm going to rip them. I know for sure. Like, if we do any physical stuff, they're going to rip. But so lots of stuff that we had to go through. Yeah. The process of actually finding an EMT school was, I wouldn't say arduous, but it was lengthy. It had a, but we're there. Like,
and,
it's
and,
doable.
And it's all doable. Like, it's all attainable. Yeah. We managed it, and we're tomorrow will be three classes in. Like it is manageable. It is doable. There is a clear process on how to do it. And you have people like us as a reference material to be able to find out how to do it. Is it going to maybe translate completely over to your state or your county? No, but at least we can give you what tools we found. And if you have questions about how to find in your area, we will absolutely assist them.
Yeah. And we're going to pick up a bunch more along the way over the course of the EMT school. Jonathan's going to be here with his 15 years of experience in EMS to kind of help us with tips along the way. So I think that's just a really good transition into kind of talking to you guys about what you can expect from this podcast. Because tonight was about, the intro, right?
The beginning.
Like, where does it all start? What you're going to be seeing from us each week is more about the actual topics themselves, like the discussions on what we learned, what were our key takeaways, what was it like taking classes again? Like, that's the experience that we're hoping to share with you all, but also to kind of, help you see where the progression goes along the way and what exactly the scope of practice or the standard of care is for EMTs, like what we will be learning. And it may be very specific to what we're going through in Pennsylvania, but Jonathan will be here to kind of help us with understanding how that may apply to Virginia.
Yep.
And through that, you might even get a sense of how it might apply to other states as well. So the topics are the big thing. Max is going to have a segment each week.
So each week I'm going to pick a tool of the trade. Basically something that kind of caught my eye that allows us to do our job better, or something that's required to be able to do our job. Something they're showing us in class.
Yeah. EMTs use a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So
there's it's almost like there's a whole thing, like a van full of stuff.
Oh, he's going Max is going to nerd out whenever he gets on an ambulance. I'm 100% sure he is like the gear guy to no end. So
I love it.
You should see the back of he's got a car, and it has more in it than an ambulance does. Maybe not all medical stuff, but
certainly
extraction
more than
equipment
a cop car
and
has.
Yeah. So Max is like, I think this is a perfect segment for Max. I'm going to be offering each week a medical term, some sort of thing that I had to learn that week that I may not have been familiar with before, because there's a lot of terminology and words, maybe things that are related to anatomy or the acronym soup that is present in all of governmental services.
Why?
Like, It just happens. So that's what I'm going to be doing each week is breaking down a one particular term and doing the medical term of the week.
You might learn some Latin.
I should make sure to
definitely
pick some
Latin. Learn some Latin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reticulum dorsi. You know, yeah. Or the frenulum. I don't. I'm just making up
stuff up.
You know, Latin sounding words.
Yes.
Jonathan will be here, giving us some tips. Right.
I've got some tips today. If you'd like me to share, ooh. I can share a quick tip or a couple quick tips.
Why don't we let's do that in a second. We'll end with the tips. Usually you begin with the tip, but you know, tonight we'll end with it.
It wasn't me. Just saying. It wasn't me.
He's just going to give us a tip.
Just a tip.
Jonathan will be here. He may not be here every week, by the way. Just to set the you know, he's going to try and be here every week. We would love Jonathan to be here. He is our co-host for the podcast.
Yes.
However, he also is a professional paramedic who also sometimes has to work on the nights that we do the podcast. So,
and also we're going to have guests. We're going to have people come on that are in some way in the medical field, whether it is an EMT or a paramedic or a doctor, or whatever. So we're going to have guests come on and kind of give us their take on what we're talking about the night and maybe some tips from them on how you could be a better EMT student.
And really, stories. Because stories are fun, and experiences and how, like, what they did in that moment or what somebody did in that moment always helps kind of solidify you know, how things go. So we'll have their stories. You may even get some ride along stories from us, because part of the process is we're going to have to go through patient contacts.
Yep.
Patient contacts is basically, you know, the field experience that has to accompany EMT training. So we'll be doing those and sharing stories from what we can, because there is some medical information that you can't divulge. We just learned that over the past week. That's kind of what you can expect from this podcast throughout the course of the season. So with that, why don't we turn it over to Jonathan? And it sounds like he's got a tip for us this evening and, you know, focused on how to be a better student, right?
So I've got a handful of things that I want to mention as you start this process, of finding and going to your first day of class at EMT school. The first one is be mindful of your attitude. Just understand that, yes, maybe you have some prior experience or maybe you have no experience, but just try and remain humble. You're there to learn. You may hear some things that you're not as accustomed to hearing as far as information. So just keep an open mind and be ready to learn. Your attitude is going to really, really dictate how your experience goes. So that's the first thing I want to give as a tip. The second thing today, make sure you're on time. It's super, super important. You're already building a foundation for showing up on time to your volunteer shift or your work shift. So be on time. That's another big one.
I forgot to mention that was the other thing we needed to have was a wristwatch with a second hand, I assume for pulses, but
yes, that's actually typically why you want that. But yeah, so those are just a couple tips for today. As you start this journey into EMT school, just keep an eye on your attitude and try and maintain one of a desire to learn and be on time.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And just to kind of add to that as well for Jonathan's expertise, I think the best things about having him involved with the podcast is he's an educator. He teaches. He will have so many tips for us and ways that we can be better students. But also, he's got the experience to kind of show us, well, this is where the book learning and the street learning may have either some differences, or actually I'd be really interested to hear of places where it's like, no, it's exactly like that. The book got it 100% right. So like, there's always those discrepancies. So, that's what it's great to have somebody with some experience on here. So, that is, our student tip of the week from Jonathan. And with that, we can probably kind of close this thing up.
Yep.
We learned about, why we did it tonight. We went through the process of becoming you know, or getting to EMT school, ways that you can access it, and make sure, you know, share with us. Are you having trouble? Are you, you know, do you need help? Do you need information? Reach out to us, you know, share the word, like spread the word.
Yep.
We're here to help. And next week, or in the next episode, we have tons coming. Things like the EMS services overview.
Yep.
That's the big thing, the big kind of first step. You get to learn all the stuff about EMS, how to, you know, how to keep yourself healthy as an EMT. That's a big one. And I think the big topic might be like, what was it like
going back to school?
Going back to school.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Rodney Dangerfield over here, like, you know, I don't get no respect. I did the triple Lindy.
I need a bathrobe.
I hope our audience understands that reference.
I'm sure they probably don't.
Back to school. It's a great movie. You got to see it.
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah. So what were those social medias?
So we've got Ride Along EMT School. That is the Facebook page. We have Ride Along EMT School Podcast. That is the YouTube page. And the email is ridealongpodcasting@gmail.com. And all that will be linked below.
Awesome. So with that, we'll wrap up the episode. I just want to say thank you, everybody, for taking the ride along with us. And until the next episode, we'll see you then. This podcast is for educational and storytelling purposes only. It is not medical advice or official EMT training. Always follow your accredited instructors and local protocols. Heartbeats racing.